The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. We continue our series, Those Things Most Surely Believed Among Us, Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 12. I'm going to have you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. The account that we're going to read this morning is found in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the topic is leprosy. And how do you put a smiling face on leprosy? And I was thinking about that as I was putting this message together. So we're going to see a lot of truths about leprosy and how the Lord used this terrible disease to glorify Himself. So Luke chapter 5 and beginning of verse 12, follow along as I read down through verse 15. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching. Speak to our hearts through your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring conviction to the hearts and minds of each person here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that there be one here this morning that has never received Christ as their Savior, that you would convince them of their sin, that you would convince them of their need of Christ, and today they would accept Jesus as their Savior. For those of us that have already made that decision, I pray, Lord, that we would be and see through this text how thankful, how grateful we ought to be for the finished work of Calvary, for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Please use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. So this morning the topic is, we most surely believe in the touch of the Master. I hope this morning, as you sit here, that you can think about that day when Jesus Christ came and touched your life and you received Him as your Savior. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is the most important day of anyone's life. Yesterday was an important day in our country. It's Veterans Day, and I'm thankful that we honor the veterans every year. And at the bank that I do some of my banking, they always have a Friday quiz. And if you win that quiz question, they give you a little piece of chocolate. And actually, they even give it to me sometimes if I don't get it right. So that's a good deal. But the question was this with regards to Veterans Day, a special day. Why is Veterans Day always on November the 11th? And it's always, doesn't matter what day of the week, Veterans Day is always on November the 11th. Now, don't shout it out if you know, but does anyone know why it's always on November the 11th? A couple of hands around. And I saw that, and the answer came to me, and I thought, wow, because I'm not, this must have come back from when I was in school. But it's always on November the 11th because on November the 11th, 1918, At 11 o'clock in the morning, the armistice was signed to end World War I. And I'm not sure, maybe some of you can help me afterwards. Maybe did it used to be called Armistice Day? And then it was changed to Veterans Day. So I was very proud of myself and patted myself on the back and enjoyed that piece of candy that I got at the bank. And it's an important day. But the most important day is the day that Jesus Christ touched your life. And I want you to think about that this morning. And we're entering into the Thanksgiving season, although for you and I, every day should be the Thanksgiving season. Amen? But I love, of all the holidays, I would have to say Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I just enjoy Thanksgiving and just enjoy the time when family gather around a table and give thanks and just thankful for all that God has done. But this account, again, as I mentioned earlier, that we just read in the Gospel of Luke is found in Matthew and Mark. And leprosy in the Bible is symbolic of sin. And I want you to think of it that way. And so I have 3 points for you on the mess, actually 4 points, but 3 until we get to the last point, dealing with leprosy. And leprosy, and I didn't want to give you a lot of different medical facts because we can get kind of lost in the facts, but basically leprosy is a type of bacteria. And leprosy affects the body from internally, and it affects the body outwardly. Now, you might be surprised as recently as the 1980s, there were over 5 million people in the world that had leprosy. And while medical technology has made tremendous inroads into dealing with leprosy, if it is caught early enough, today there are only about 200,000 people in the world that have leprosy. That's tremendous, going from 5 million people down to... But it's a terrible disease, and we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning and see what lessons that we can learn from it. By the way, our missionary that we support to Burma, Brother Bob DeWitt, he's in Burma right now. There are many lepers in Burma. He has visited leper hospitals there. But it's a bacteria that gets inside the human cell, and it can take anywhere from 6 months up to 40 years to have its full effect on a person. And it's a terrible disease with the scales and the rashes and the disfiguring of the body. And it thrives in the cooler areas of the body. That's why oftentimes people develop the rash on their face, near their eyes, their ears, because that's the cooler area of your body. But here Jesus comes along, and he's in a certain city, and there's a man there. He is full of leprosy. And he's going to seek after Jesus. And he's going to seek after the Master's touch. All of us need the Master's touch. Every single one of us. Because sin, like leprosy, it's an internal disease. It's inside of us. Sometimes when we think about sin, we think of it in an external way. I could give you a whole list of things this morning that we would think of as sin, or things that even we say that come out of our mouths. Like, for instance, I'll just give you one. Lying. Lying is a sin. But it's more of external, because you have to say something to someone that's not true. But it all starts in the heart. It all starts internally. Stealing is a sin. And to steal something, it's something that you take from someone else. But it starts internally, and it manifests itself externally, just like leprosy. This man was full of leprosy, but his leprosy started from the inside. That bacteria got into the cells of his body, and it manifested itself outwardly. The Bible says sin is that way. Romans chapter 5, if you notice on your handout, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and with Eve, when they sinned against God, That was the beginning of our sinful nature. I have no idea, and I didn't do any of the research on this, I have no idea where and how the sickness of leprosy came into being. But somewhere and somehow it started, this bacteria. And it spread throughout the population. But sin started with Adam and Eve. There's no doubt about that. And so everyone that's been born into this world is born into this world with an internal sinful nature. Amen? Every single one of us is born that way. When God said to Adam and Eve, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And that day that you eat of that tree, you," he said, "shall surely die." And since that time, men and women have lived out their lives and they have died. And it's because of the sinful nature, the internal sinful nature that is found within each of us. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Corrupt are they, and we are all corrupt. Corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. The Apostle Paul said that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. The heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? It is the internal sinful nature that each of us possesses. And some people have a real problem with that. They reject with horror that sin could actually exist within people. As I was doing some reading on leprosy, a mom who has leprosy can give birth to a child, and that child can be born and without any defects, without any malady, seemingly, and you look at that beautiful baby, but within the cells of that baby could dwell the disease of leprosy. And so that child will begin to grow, and that child will take shape and form and grow from a baby into a little child. But sooner or later, that leprosy that's within that cell will begin to manifest itself. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a mark or a rash on that person. As I said earlier, it could be in 6 months. It could take up to 40 years. Because inside that child is leprosy. And inside every child that's born is a sinful, sinful nature. Some people love you. They just believe in the goodness of man. And oh, if man could just educate himself, if man could just change his philosophy, if man could just become more tolerant, if man, it's not about man. Man is the problem. Because within it, the heart of every man is the sinful nature. When Jeremiah said that, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that last phrase when he said, "Who can know it?" What he's really saying is, you and I just don't even realize how depraved we could become. That's our sinful nature. So here's this man. He is full of leprosy. But sin, like leprosy, is an infectious disease. It's infectious. I was watching the news the other night, and the news that I watched, they started a new segment. And I think it's called something like, "Whatever Happened To?" And so what they do is something that came up in the news years ago, and it was there for a week or two, and it was important news, but then you don't hear about it any longer. So they are asking their viewers, you know, if you're wondering, whatever happened to this, and we'll do a little segment. And so someone asked, "Whatever happened to Ebola?" Remember the Ebola virus? The Ebola virus was a sin that started in the Congo. And what happened was the sin that was in, or the disease of Ebola, a man contracted the disease, and it became news in the United States because he flew here from the Congo, and they did not know or did not realize that he had it. And he was in a hospital. When all of a sudden he came down with the disease, he was in a hospital in Dallas, and they allowed two nurses to be working on him. And they weren't properly protected. And the Ebola virus is passed on through bodily fluids. And somehow, these two nurses became infected with the Ebola virus. And the CDC didn't properly control it, and they actually allowed one of the nurses, I think it was, to fly to Chicago. I believe she was getting married. I might have that part of the story wrong, but I know she flew to Chicago, and then they realized what was taking place. They then had to contact everyone that flew on that plane, and everyone that was on that plane then had to go into quarantine because the disease was so infectious. Well, sin is infectious. The sin of leprosy was infectious. It's the same thing. Most of the time, it's passed on through bodily fluids. And it spreads. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you read through the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15, the Israelites were given specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy. And if something broke out on someone's body, because it's so infectious, they had to go to see the priest, and the priest had to examine them. And then I don't have time to get into all of it this morning, but you read through everything that's there in Leviticus 13, 14, and 15 and what they had to do. And it wasn't only their person, but their clothing had to be inspected. And then their homes had to be inspected. And there would be a process over a period of 1 week, and they go back into the home. And if they feared that the stones and the plaster of the house were infected, all of that would have to be dealt with because the disease of leprosy was so infectious. But sin is infectious as well. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and there was a sin in that church there, and there was a relationship going on between a man and a woman that was outside of the will of God. In fact, it was a man that was having an immoral relationship with his stepmother. And the Bible says that the church really wasn't doing anything about it or saying anything about it. And Paul wrote to them, and I have that verse on your handout, 1 Corinthians 5:6. And he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, it leaveneth the whole lump." Just a little bit of leaven makes the lump of when you're baking the dough to rise. Sin is that way. Just a little bit of sin will begin to expand upon itself and it'll begin to grow. And Paul was warning that church there, and he said to them, "Listen, you be careful. You're just letting this go." I wonder sometimes, and I've often said that the problems that we face as a culture and what's going on in society today, we can be quick to point the finger at a politician. We can be quick to point the finger at the educational system. We can be quick to point the finger at this and with this. But I really think a lot of the problems that we face in the country today is because the pulpits of the country have been silent. And in many of our congregations today, there are certain subjects that preachers just will not preach about because they know that somebody in their congregation just may get upset by some of these topics. Or they know someone. Things that the Bible clearly says are sinful. And whether it's collectively as a nation or whether it's in our own personal lives, sin is infectious. Sin will grow. I read this past week. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33 on your handout. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." Well, that's true. Let me put it this way. My mother used to tell me this when I was growing up. She would say, she would say this to all of my brothers and my sister, and I'm sure it wasn't new for her, she said, "You will become who you associate with." There's whoever you hang out with, that's who you'll become. So that's what Paul was saying here in 1 Corinthians when he said, "Be not deceived, evil communication," and that word communication, it's just not talking about what we say, it's our behavior. In other words, bad behavior corrupts good behavior. Who you associate with, that's who you will become. There was an old proverb that I read from an old Jewish proverb that I put for you on the handout here. And if you heat your home with wood like I do, you really appreciate this. There were two dry logs of wood and one green log, but the dry logs burned up the green logs. In other words, if you've ever tried to make a fire and you've ever tried to burn green wood, it's hard to get green wood to burn. But you put two dry logs next to that green wood, and you can get that piece of green wood to dry out and then to catch fire. You understand what he's saying? Amen? So it's the whole idea, who you associate with. That's for you teenagers. Who do you associate with? Who do you hang out with? Because who you hang out with is who you'll become. At work, who do we hang out with, adults? Because who you hang out with, that's who you become. I'm not saying to just distance yourself, but you know, if you've ever worked in the workplace, there are some people at work that they're trying to drag you into this habit or trying to drag you into this activity. Just be careful. Because sin, like leprosy, it's an infectious disease. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Who you walk with, and who you stand with, and who you sit with are very important. Sin is an infectious disease. It's an internal disease. We're all born into this world as sinners, and it's an infectious disease. But notice this on your handout, on the back side of your handout. Sin is an insidious, like leprosy, is an insidious disease. You know, when the leper in the Bible, when he would walk down the street, he had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So if people were walking down the same side of the street and the leper comes and he says, "Unclean! Unclean!" That way the people could move and get to the other side of the street. Or the leper would get to the other side of the street because it was infectious and it was a horrible disease. No one would want to get leprosy. In fact, quickly, just take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17, because I want to show you this. In fact, I may be preaching on this text next Sunday, I'm not sure. But Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers. And look what it says beginning in verse number 1. Actually, verse number 11, I'm sorry. Verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he," that's Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers." And notice what it says next. "Which stood afar off." That was their responsibility, to stand afar off. Because they knew how infectious they could be, and they knew how insidious the disease was. Now go back to Gospel of Luke. Sin is like that. It's insidious. Just like leprosy, the word, by the way, insidious, it means it's characterized by treachery and slyness. It's operating in a slow, not easily apparent manner. And slowly becomes visible. When the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is always a price that one pays for sin. Always a price. There was always a price that one paid when they became a leper. Their body would break down. I thought about that as the leper, the disease would take over that person's body and begin to destroy that person's body. Sin is insidious that way. You know, the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. Now, how many people have been deceived into thinking that this sin that they get involved with will bring some type of pleasure to their life and some type of joy and some type of excitement, only as gradually it takes control of their body and just then consumes them? I was mentioning, I don't know when I was mentioning this, a week or two ago, but I mentioned that once I had a Jeep, CJ5. And Mrs. Malachuk and I was dating her at the time when I met her. I had this really cool black CJ5 Jeep, and I'd pull up, and you know, she thought I was pretty hot stuff, you know, driving this Jeep. And so we got married, and I still had the Jeep. I think until Ethan came along, and then I became a family man. I had to get rid of it. So it's Ethan's fault I got rid of the Jeep. But we would drive around the mountains, and we were up, I think it's in Florida where we were, but there was these dirt roads we'd drive around in, not back roads, not four-wheeling, but just the gravel roads and just take a ride. But there was this one really nice house that we would go by, and it was really well taken care of. It was a beautiful view, kind of in a quiet road. And we would drive by that, and we would reflect upon, well, that would be really nice. And you know, when you're young, you're just getting started, you start to think about where would we live, da, 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 da. I remember some years later, going by that house, and I was shocked. The grass had grown. The paint was peeling. It just looked almost like it was abandoned. I thought, what happened? What happened to that house? Obviously, it was neglected. And I got to thinking to myself, that's what sin does. Sin begins to destroy people's lives. How many beautiful relationships started? A marriage starts out, and a man and a wife, and they're in love, and they say, I do, and they begin a family. And then something comes along and begins to deteriorate that relationship. And that once what was so lovely and so beautiful and so joyful is destroyed. How many of a young teenager, a young man or a young woman? I can think of several examples. I'm not going to name them by name. But I can think of things, some closer to home than others, of they started out so much to offer, so vibrant, so intelligent, so much they could offer to life, to the Lord, to the world. But sin began to take control of their lives. Somehow they were infected by it. They had such potential. And some of them today are dead. Or some you might look at and say, wow, they look pretty rough. There's nothing good about sin. It destroys homes. It destroys lives. It destroys people. Sin, like leprosy, it's insidious. It robs people of their finances. It's degrading. It can rob people of their dignity and the guilt and the shame and the heartache. The Bible says, but every man, when he is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. So when we think of leprosy, and I'll go back now to our chapter 5. I'm going to finish up and point out a couple of things quickly. So here's this man. He's full of leprosy. It was an internal disease that has taken control of his body. It's an infectious disease that could infect everyone that's around him if he's not careful and if they're not careful. And just an insidious disease. I suppose if the Bible says he was full of leprosy, I was looking at some pictures of people who are full of leprosy, and I'm sure you've seen them. Their faces are pocked and marked and swollen. Their hands are all swollen. They're just grossly disfigured. Now that was all the bad news. Now the good news. Sin, unlike leprosy, is a curable disease. Amen? Sin, unlike leprosy, is a curable disease. Now, I mentioned earlier, in many cases today, unlike in Bible days, leprosy can be cured. But in Bible days, leprosy could never be cured. You got leprosy, you're going to have it forever until you died. But sin is a curable disease. That's why you and I need the touch of the Master's hand. That's why we need Jesus to come. And you notice what happened here. The Bible says, so here's this man, look at verse 12, who seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. This man needed the spiritual touch and the healing touch of Jesus Christ. First, in verse 12, you noticed this, that he saw him. In the middle of the verse, this man who seeing Jesus fell on his face. You see, that's what it takes. It takes for people to understand that they have a disease called sin. And it takes for people to understand and to see there's a great physician. And the great physician's name is Dr. Jesus. That Jesus Christ can come and he can touch an individual's lives. And that Jesus Christ is the cure-all. He is the antidote for the sin, or the disease, if you will, called sin. And so the Bible says this. He not only saw Jesus, but the Bible says that he besought him. He went to Jesus. He went after Jesus to talk with Jesus. He went to seek him out. Here is a man who has a disease. It is a hopeless disease. It is an endless disease. At that time, is it a completely incurable disease, an infectious disease, a disease that's coming from the outside. And he's coming and he's looking for hope. And so many people today, if they would realize, they find themselves in life with a disease called sin. They've been robbed of their dignity, robbed of their finances, robbed of relationships, robbed of many things. But the hope, ladies and gentlemen, is always in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen? And so here's this man, just full of this disease. And he's looking and he sees Jesus. That's his hope. And he comes out and he seeks after him. But notice what else he does here. The Bible says that he falls down at Jesus' feet. Who seeing Jesus, he fell at his face. He humbles himself before the Lord. And that's what it takes. Even in Christian lives, even in those who have accepted Jesus, I've seen a disease called pride. I've seen a disease called rebellion in people. I've seen a disease, whatever you want to plug in. And I've watched people when they should know, because they've heard, they've read, it's been preached to them that the cure-all is Jesus and humbling themselves before Jesus. Just like this leper did. But they don't. This man has an earnest desire to be healed. He believed that Jesus could heal him. He falls on his face. He besought the Lord. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean, he says. You, Jesus, you are the answer. You're the one that can take care of my need. And he calls upon him. And if you're here this morning and you've come to understand through the preaching of this word, and I pray and trust by the convicting of the Holy Spirit, you are a sinner that needs to be cured. You are a sinner by nature. And if you live out your life and you die without receiving Christ as your Savior, the wages of sin is death. You will spend an eternity in a Christless place called hell. The Bible says a place, if you think the diseases that you can come down with here in this world are terrible, think of spending an eternity in a place where the Bible says is nothing but just pain and anguish, where the Bible describes it as a place where their worm dieth not. It's like a gnawing, that whole life, that whole expression, where their worm dieth not, a gnawing of the flesh, a horrible place. But the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. But it is sin and our sinful nature that sends us to a place called hell. Thou can. This man had faith in who Jesus was. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Jesus is his only hope. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is your only hope. The old hymn writer said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground it's sinking sand. And this man comes to Jesus with this leprosy, just like every man, woman, boy, or girl doesn't come to Jesus with leprosy, but they come to Jesus with a sinful nature. You and I, we sin because we're sinners. You get that? We sin because we're sinners. In other words, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's our nature to sin. It's who we are. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It's passed on from generation to generation to generation. Just like this leprosy would be passed on from generation to generation to generation. But here's a man. Here's a man who can come and he can be cleaned. He can be healed. And the Bible says that Jesus, in verse 13, he put forth his hand and he touched him. Where were you the day that Jesus touched you? Where were you? Where were you the day that you realized you were a sinner? Where were you? Just think about it in your mind right now. Where were you the day that you humbled yourself before God and you said, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I understand, Jesus, that you came to die and pay for my sin. And right here and now, I place my faith and trust in what you did for me on the cross. I trust in your death, your burial, and your resurrection. I call upon you to be my Savior. Oh, maybe not in those exact words, but you understand what I'm saying. The recognition that you're a sinner, the recognition that Jesus died and paid for your sins, the recognition that if you'll call upon him by faith, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And this man was clean. No longer would he have to walk down the streets yelling, unclean, unclean. No, the touch of the Master's hand took care of all of that. The touch of the Master's hand is what made him now who he became. And the Bible says in verse 13, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Where were you that day that the Lord touched you? Where were you that day when you sensed the touching hand of God, spiritually speaking, that the guilt and the shame of sin was lifted from you? Where were you that day when the touch of the Master's hand touched you and you realized now who you were? You realized who Jesus was. You realized where you were and now where you're going in eternity in a place called heaven. Where were you the day that Jesus touched you? Because that's the day your whole life should have changed. That's the day that you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. Where were you that day? The touch of the Master's hand. Studies have shown, I found this interesting, that babies who are not touched as they're growing, they don't have the physical and the emotional attention that they deserve, are at a risk for behavioral and emotional and social problems as they grow up. I found that interesting. So you understand what this study said. A little baby, if the little baby isn't touched, if the little baby isn't cuddled, if the little baby isn't loved, as they begin to grow, they have emotional problems. They have physical problems. Social problems. I thought, well, that really spells out what's going on in our world around us. People need the touch of the Master's hand. How about you this morning? Can you think of that time when Jesus touched you and you came to know Christ as your Savior? See, I believe in the touch of the Master's hand. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So this morning, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, can you answer that question? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? I'm not asking you if you've been religious, if you've gone to church. I'm asking you if you will realize, just like this man realized he had leprosy, if you will realize that you have sin. You are a sinner by nature. From the moment you were born into this world, you had a sinful nature. I'm asking you this morning, is there a time that you can realize in your life that Jesus was the answer? Is there a time? But if there hasn't been a time, right now could be that time. And by calling upon Jesus by faith, He'll make you clean. Calling upon Him, recognizing what He did for you on the cross. Right where you sit this morning. And understand this, you're amongst friends. The majority of people in this room understood one day that they were a leper. They were sinful. They understood that there was no cure except the cure that Jesus provided on the cross. And one day they called upon Jesus and asked to be saved. The Bible says when we do that, then our sins are as far as the east is from the west. God never to bring them up again. He not only saves you from all of the sin that we have already committed, but from the sin that we will commit until the Lord takes us home. Have you called upon Him? Right now, I encourage you, right where you sit, lift up your heart and that inner voice to the Lord. Cry out to Him, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I believe that today that Jesus died and He paid for my sin on the cross. By the way, only Jesus could pay for your sin because He, unlike any of the rest of us, He was the only person born into this world without sin. He was pure. He was holy. He did not have the same sinful nature that you and I have. And He paid for your sin. And He paid for my sin. He paid for the cure when He hung on the cross. For each person that places their trust in Him, the Bible says, clean. 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 In your heart, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe, Jesus, You died and You paid for my sin. And I call upon You now to save me. Make me clean. Make me clean. Father, thank You for the opportunity this morning. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Just help us, Lord, to realize what You've saved us from, how infectious sin can be and how insidious it is, how it could just destroy our lives. But thank You for Jesus, the great physician.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.